Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart podcast, where healthcare meets business, with your host, me, Dr. Karen Litzy. And just as a reminder, the information in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not to be used as personalized medical advice. Enjoy the show.
Hello, Jenna Cantor here with Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I am here with the wonderful, fabulous, phenomenal, beautiful, perfect hair on every single time you meet and see her in photos and everything, the Dr. Alyssa Arms. Alyssa, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the podcast.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Alyssa, in short, is a jack of all trades in the theater, in the physical therapy profession. Wow, that was my two hats coming in the physical therapy profession, running her own private practice, working as a professor for a school, specializing in treating dancers, and she has a podcast of her own. I know I'm missing stuff. Go to her bio. That being said, we're going to dive into the podcast part because your time, you, the listener, your time is absolutely valuable. And when talking with Alyssa, as I like to every other day, where I spend more of the time talking and she listens because she's an amazing friend. it really dawned on me with all of her experience already with running a podcast and her juggling so many other things in her life, she really understands not only running a podcast, but the pros and cons specifically of running a niche podcast. Because please tell us, what is the title of your podcast?
Yeah, it's Dance Med Spotlight. It's where we talk about all things dance medicine and dance science.
There we go. So not only is she in the health field, but she just narrowed down her audience and who she's focusing on quite a bit as soon as she said dance. So we're going to dive into, let's start off with what made you decide to do your podcast? And then we're going to go, flow in very smoothly into the pros and cons. So what were your whys? Just start from wherever, open-ended question and go.
I had been thinking about it for a while because, we always see some new podcast coming out on a million different topics. And being in the dance space, I knew that there was just this need to get information out. And for the longest time, first it was, well, who do I want to talk to? Sometimes it was specifically the dancers. Maybe it was adolescent competitive dancers. Oh no, maybe I want to talk to the teachers or the studio owners. Maybe I want to talk to convention owners. Maybe I want to talk to providers. I don't know who I want to talk to. So that was one of my big barriers when I was trying to decide in the first place. I just knew I wanted to get the information out. Was thinking about it more. Also felt really overwhelmed by the process because it was like, well, I know I already have some stuff because I make videos for my business, for recording, having a mic, some of those different things. But what else do I need? What do I need to know? How much goes into it? It just was really daunting. And so I never moved on it, even though I kept hearing a podcast is a really great thing to do. Then fast forward probably years at that point, and I ended up talking with Jimmy McKay from PT Pintcast. Love PT Pintcast. And he got to talking to me and he was like, why don't you start a podcast? Because I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know. And so he sort of took me under his wing and taught me some of the basics to get me going and really was, kind of a confidence booster for me to actually make me do something with it. And then just kind of hit the ground running from there. And here we are.
I love it. And I want to add a little bit in there to bring myself in. This is so theatrical of me to swoop myself in. No, you pulled me aside because we're very good friends. And I think this is a very good part of the story. It's not what your why at all, but just like a little part of the journey is when you were checking in with me, you weren't like asking permission, but I remember you had a conversation with me because you were like, thinking about doing this podcast and you had a little concern that you would be stepping on my toes and anyway, because I have the Dance PT podcast. And I was like, well, I said something like, absolutely not. Like, do it. Like, go. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So if you have friends or know other somebody else who has a successful, like with that kind of logic, then we would only have one person who would do a talk show on television at a time that interviews celebrities. Like that, you can't, don't worry. Do not worry if you're, you know, covering the same, like you're fine. You will be fine.
Yeah.
Think that you're the only person that's interviewed Emma Stone on her nomination for a film and you're a talk show host. No, there's going to be repeat. Right. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Yeah. And one of the things that I've realized now that I have more than a few episodes under my belt is even when I've heard interviews with the same person, to your point, every interviewer has a different personality and style of running the interview. Every conversation is a bit different. Some of them, the person who's hosting the podcast prefers to have something that is maybe a bit more scripted. And it's like, all right, we already plan what we're talking about. Sometimes it's very research-based, even when we're looking at dance medicine stuff, or sometimes it's a lot more conversational, which is kind of my style. Some of them are short, some of them are long. I mean, there's a ton of different variations that end up happening. And so, yeah, I mean, even if it ends up being the same exact person on a similar type of podcast, those conversations go very different.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually just thinking right now, comparing Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart intro is a gorgeous intro that Karen Litzy has put together. And then if you go to my podcast, I'm literally scatting. And it sounds like a 13-year-old recorded it in one take, which is true. Everything except for the A.
It's amazing.
And it's long. I was like, oh, I might need to, I thought about maybe cutting it, but then I'm like, oh, but it's so stupid. It's wonderful, you know? But like, and then your intro is so different. You know what I mean? Like, we're good. You know, like, it's always so, it's just do what feeds you, what, you know, and if you want to do it, don't worry about if you're repeating any of that. So let's now dive into the pros and cons of doing a niche podcast. And in general, it's okay if we move away from just niche specifically. So let's talk about first the cons so that way we can end on the pros. So we can end on the pros. So what, off the top of your head, what is one thing that would be a con for running a podcast?
So one of the things that I have come to appreciate, and I still am working to figure out for myself, is just kind of the time that goes into it. So the way that I've chosen to do it is most of my interviews are about an hour long. I don't do a ton of editing on the back end. So that like initial editing is pretty easy. But, you know, you post it on YouTube, you tease it on social media in different places. I build it into my website. So it also takes traffic to my website. And so I'm doing a blog post for every single one of them where you have to build out different pieces for everything. And then I also chop it into a bunch of pieces to continuously put it out on social media and YouTube and that kind of stuff just to have little teasers. So maybe people are like, oh, that little bit sounded interesting. I want to go check out the full episode. And so all of that takes time.
So much.
And that means you have to plan ahead because it takes time. There was one that I did a turnaround in under a week because of a special request of the person that I interviewed. And I got it done, but man, that was a stressful week. And, you know, and it's time that gets taken away from other stuff that I do. So like you said earlier, I own a private practice where I am 100% solo and do everything myself. I'm a part-time professor in a PT program, and I do other teaching and on-site stuff and, you know, all these different things. And so when it takes a few hours per episode, that's significant. And I actually found, because I just started my part-time position as a professor last summer, that once I really got going with that, I didn't have the same time. I had started with, I had gotten up to 3 episodes a month, and it was like, I can't manage this. So then I dialed it back to 2, and that's feeling a lot more comfortable. I would love to do more, but I just don't have the capacity to do it. And you, of course, have the option to pay somebody to do those things for you. But I'm also not at that point where, you know, I'm wanting to invest that money at this point to pay for somebody else to do it. Although I have been thinking about it more lately.
Right. You're like, yeah. Let's go into, I'm going to actually approach it slightly. I'm going with my gut here.
Yeah.
The financial component of it, pro con stuff on that.
So, I mean, really, you don't need much of anything fancy to get going. Like, I just use what's built into my computer. And then I was lucky because I already during the pandemic, I was like, well, I know I'm switching to telehealth and I'm probably going to do some more like video-based stuff. I just want to invest in a couple of things. So I did get like a separate little webcam on a stand and this mic and, you know, but it's a relatively cheap mic. I also now have purchased lapel mics that just pop into a iPhone. And so I have that option. So if I'm like out and about somewhere and want to interview somebody, I have two mics that can go into that. And I just video from my phone. And I mean, those mics were like, I don't know, $30-$40. So like, it doesn't need to be anything fancy. And then the only other thing that I'm particularly spending money on is storage of the information on a podcasting site that helps monitor how many, you know, all of the analytics and stuff of it, and helps disperse all of it out to like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Google and Amazon and all the different podcasting platforms. It's a central hub. And so that's where I'm spending my most money. And that also is not a terrible cost. Pretty cheap. And if you're doing higher volume, then it's helpful to pay a little bit more because you need more space. But other than that, I mean, it's not bad.
So would you say it's like not bad? So this could be a potential pro. What would the cost range from? 500, 1,000 to get started? Like what ish? Guessing.
Oh, less than that. I probably in total have maybe spent like $200 or $300 at this point.
Great. Thank you. All right. What's another con off the top of your head?
I think one of them is, you know, just from that planning piece, like I am a planner and organizer and that sort of thing. I love that stuff. And it stresses me out when I'm starting to get lower on my list of completed interviews, whether or not I've edited them, but it's like, oh gosh, now I need to find more people. Who am I going to find? And, you know, kind of going on that hunt. And so you have to be persistent. You have to not take it personal if somebody doesn't get back to you, or if they say they're not interested, or if they say they're interested and then it just seems like you can never get them to sign up. So, you know, you have to have that persistence and that sort of stuff in order to, you know, to be successful in that. But it can definitely be a little bit of a stressor sometimes, especially as a major planner, to constantly be on that hunt. But again, it's also not that different from like in private practice. Our whole purpose in our practice is to help get people better. So hopefully they don't need us again. So we are always on the hunt for new clients as well. And so, you know, it's kind of a similar problem just in a different context.
Yeah. Yeah. Regarding ROI, return on investment. And when I talk about investment, I'm saying not only financially, but also the time. The time is a big thing. What are regarding return ROI, actually getting a good return on investment for a niche podcast, very, very focused podcast, what are some cons there?
It's a lot of time and energy invested going into it. And even though you get some of the analytics on the backside of like, how many times has the video been viewed on YouTube, or how many listens have you had on, you know, some of the different podcasting platforms and whatnot, you don't really know who is listening. You don't know what they're getting out of it. And so it's like, well, I see growing numbers. I see that, you know, some people at least seem to be interested in it, but you don't get feedback on it to know, am I doing the thing that people are actually interested in, or am I just sort of like doing this for myself, or why am I doing this? And so that sometimes can be a challenging piece of, you know, you're putting all of this into it and you're hoping people are getting something out of it, but you don't necessarily know unless someone leaves a comment or something.
So why do the niche podcast? Is it for, no wrong answer, is it for attention? Is it to get patience, notoriety, reputation? Like, I mean, all these things that I just said could be, but like, what are the reasons? What are, I'm honestly asking.
Yeah. I think part of it is depending on what you're wanting to get out of it. So like for me, one of my biggest drivers in everything that I do in the dance medicine space is coming from the perspective of dancers and performers have so many unmet needs. There's some bad history there with the medical community on average, where it's like, you know, they've been told, just stop dancing, just stop doing that. You can't do this anymore. And so then they decide, well, I'm just not going to go talk to anybody about this because they're not going to help me anyways. And so I want to bring awareness that there are people who understand. I want to help share information to maybe bust down some of the myths that are out there of, you know, what is it to be a healthy dancer? How are we supporting our body or not supporting our bodies? And all of those different kinds of things. And so like, that is my motivator. It's, you know, if I get patients out of it, awesome. If I build a reputation out of it, awesome. But I just want people who need the information to get it. Even if it means I never hear from them, I never see them, I never make a cent off of them, that is not my motivator. For other people, there's probably other motivators. Definitely. I mean, you know, some people, they do want the reputation and to kind of, you know, build celebrity status as a sort and that kind of thing, or make a bunch of money off of it, or, you know, all of these different things. But that is not my motivator for why I'm doing my podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. With the My Dance PT podcast, my big why is to gain trust with other dance PTs because I mentor people on and teach them how to treat dancers. So for me, it's gaining trust. It's literally to gain trust. It's almost like a get to know each other a little, see if we vibe on the things that we care about. So that's my why. That's absolutely my why. It's interesting you're saying time. I want to go back on that because for me, a big thing I do for time, my episodes are on average about 5 minutes every time. So like my episodes are for the impatient listener, the person with not enough time, who wants to talk about the psychosocial struggles of trying to become a dance PT. So, but like in regards to time and everything, and you were saying one of the cons with like trying to find somebody to, you know, hunker down and find people to interview. I used to do that and I absolutely moved away from it. And that eliminated a lot of the issues I was having for long-term. I think I know the answer to this, but in regards to trying to be consistent, pros and cons with that, the efforts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest thing for me is just kind of the time piece where, you know, there are times where I am really good and really on top of it and have multiple episodes ready to go so that I have some wiggle room as life inevitably gets in the way and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's fantastic. And then there's times where that gets eaten up because life gets in the way. And then it's a scramble of, oh boy, I normally release on first and third Thursdays. And first Thursday is coming up here and I am not done doing all of my editing and posting everything. I need to light a fire under my butt and get going here. And so I think that's kind of the main thing for me for the consistency piece. But a lot of what I did to try to help myself be as successful as possible is put in a lot of planning at the beginning. So anyone who knows me knows that I am obsessed with Excel spreadsheets to organize information. And so I, of course, have an Excel spreadsheet that I created that has a list of my topics and guests, when it was recorded, when it's posting, all of that kind of stuff. And then I made columns that have little tick boxes for, you know, okay, you edited the full video, you've posted it to YouTube, you and scheduled it, you've, you know, whatever, all the different steps of things. And then I also put in even my own analytics, because the analytics on the podcast site only is for the audio version, not for YouTube. And I want to see total interest in these episodes and the podcast overall. And is video doing better than the audio version or whatever? And so I have columns in there where I periodically go in and update the numbers and see what's going on, because I want to analyze it. And so, you know, I have this massive spreadsheet and I keep track of who I contacted, how I contacted them, the last time I made contact, what they said, you know, and so it's all in this one master spreadsheet for me to be able to make sense of. And so that really helps me stay as consistent as possible, as long as life doesn't get too much in the way along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally get that. That's the really great points. Before we move more formally into the pros, any other cons that we have not discussed?
I think the other thing that I know I need to work on is also just learning like how to market the podcast in the first place. It's not just putting it out there. That is definitely an important step for people to just find it in the first place. But how are people finding out about it? And so far, most of my promotion is just on Instagram and YouTube, but I know there are a million other ways to do it. You could always do ads to promote it. You can do, you know, there are a million different things. And luckily I've had a lot of great guests who are very willing, like when their episode comes out, when their snippets come out and they get tagged, they'll share it out to their community and that kind of thing. And, you know, all of that helps having good people on in the first place. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the things too. It's not just creating it and putting it out there. It's then how are you putting it out there to make sure the right people are seeing it and that enough people are seeing it.
I like the point that you make, like people sharing it out and everything. I can personally be very lazy about that. And I'm trying to get better at that when I'm on someone else's podcast. I'm just like, oh God, because for me, it's another to do. It's another to do. Mm-hmm. Like, oh God, but it's so true. It's like, if the person helps advertise and get the word out, sure, but you can't necessarily depend on the person, you know, being able to do that. So then do you get somebody already with a following? Well, in that sense, they are doing that kind of posting habitually anyway, you know, so there's all the things.
Yeah. That's- and one of the things I've noticed too, with the guests that I've had on, like there's some that have a pretty big following online. And I was thinking like, oh, this episode is going to have like so many hits on it. And then people where it's like, you know, people might not know who this person is, but I think they're awesome. And I think they have really great information to share and put that out there. And then that ends up being one that is super popular. And the other one has like 20 hits on it total. And so it's been really interesting, especially now again, that like, it's not like I've been doing this for very long, but I have enough under my belt to kind of start seeing a trend where some of the ones where I just had this preconception of how it was going to perform ends up not being the case at all. And, you know, my original intention of the audience has also shifted. I originally was thinking I'm really aiming towards the health and wellness providers who are working with dancers to understand better and learn from one another. Yeah. And then knowing that dancers and teachers and other people in the community are listening. But, you know, that was kind of my original intent. But then as the information was going out and as people in the community were starting to, you know, give me some feedback, even when I was out somewhere, I was surprised by the people who were saying they were listening and what they had learned from it. And it was the dancers, it was the dance teachers, even in a dance class that I was in at one point. I had known the dance teacher for a really long time. And she was like, oh, I listened to your episode on whatever it was. And it was amazing. You guys, her podcast is Dance Med Spotlight and you all have to listen to it. So she's like doing a pitch to my dance class for me because she found it and really liked it. And so now my shift has just gone to anyone who is dance community adjacent.
Amazing.
We have information. So I actually broadened my niche somewhat because it's not just the providers. But I've also gotten more people listening when I kind of shifted that intent based off of the response that I was getting.
Wow. That's so cool. Yeah, you really never know. Like when you just never know. You never know. Wow. Huh. That's so cool. So it helped you out in a different way.
Exactly.
I love that. That's such a win. That's really, really cool. All right, cool. For you, how is contacting, reaching out to these people to interview? How is there a pro in that with the people you interview?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing is it gives me an opportunity to learn from somebody else who is also an expert in their practice and in their profession. And so that helps me better help the clients that I work with in my own practice and the people that I communicate with in the community when I'm out at events and doing on-site stuff and that sort of thing. Even just knowing, learning from my dietitian friends and the researchers and mental health and all these different people, because it's any profession that I'm interviewing, and even interviewing some professional dancers themselves, it teaches me like, ooh, maybe I need to take a class in this to better understand it. I need to look for a continuing education class for myself. Or I learn, here are some questions I probably should be asking my dancers, or flags to be looking for, red flags of, ooh, if I see this, I need to do something with this information. Where, some of it could have been easy to gloss over or not realize the importance, or just you don't know what you don't know. And so I'm learning something with every single episode, selfishly. And then it also helps me build my network for when I do have my clients who need something. I have people that I can talk to, whether they can directly help or at least refer me to somebody who can. I now have an established network to go to.
That's great. Oh, I love that so much. Goodness, other pros. Give me another pro. Give me another pro. Because I feel like we've hit on a lot of them. How is
I
it?
think, another easy pro is like from social media perspective, we know that on social media, consistency and frequency often are important things for how often you're posting. So it makes for easy additional content to have more things going out there and that kind of stuff, and having, other little hits to maybe bring people in that maybe didn't see your stuff before and that kind of thing. I've been at, like, the last time I was at the iAdams Conference, International Association for Dance Medicine and
I know
Science,
every time I
when
said
it
I have
was
to
in
say it as well.
Columbus, Ohio. I know. It was in Columbus, Ohio, and I was heading into a session, and there was a student working the door, and they go, "Oh, you're Alyssa Arms. You do Dance Med Spotlight." And I was just like, yes, I am. Like, what's going on? And people do recognize you. They start recognizing you or your voice or whatever, because they've been engaging with your content, whether it's just social media stuff or on the podcast. But that was just, it's kind of a fun little surprise when you get comments like that too.
Yes, absolutely. And it just means it's of value to the right people because the International Association of Dance Medicine Science, a lot of people there are pretty much your audience who you would want to be interested in it. So that is
Exactly. And a lot of them have been my
ideal.
guests.
Very ideal. So is this something ultimately where do you are you with your niche podcast, are you wanting to like make money from it? Is that like a thing, or is it like if you were looking in advance for it for like a major pro, a major gain to get from your podcast, what is your ultimate thought with it?
Yeah, I think, well, really, ultimate thought is going back to what I said before of just getting the information out there for the people who need it. Whether or not I ever get anything directly from that is, that's minor. As far as actually making money off of it, who doesn't love another revenue stream and another source of money? Like, I'm not going to deny that at all, because that's the world we live in. But I would at least like to get to a point where it could pay for itself to be able to pay somebody to do the editing and manage some of that stuff. Like, if that is all that ever got covered and I didn't make an actual cent of profit off of it, I'd be okay with that.
Absolutely.
Like that would be, that would be a fine spot for me to be at.
And so I get even more so with you saying the numbers, you tracking the YouTube watches, and that is you getting the information out there, which is what you care about. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's wonderful.
And it helps me also see what topics are more interest, you know, like my top two performing ones still are ones that I interviewed professional West Coast swing dancers, who also had an additional perspective on it. But like those still are my top two performing ones. And so it's like, maybe I need to bring in some more people that are somehow related to that community. Or, you know, I have some where it's like from the physician standpoint or something like that. And maybe those perform a little bit better if they're a physician with a professional ballet company somewhere. I don't know. But, you know, I can go in there and that helps give a guide too of who do I want to target a little bit as some of my upcoming guests or as some of my upcoming topics.
Oh, yeah. The numbers help with that big time. And the fact that you're bringing up West Coast Swing, if you don't know, Alyssa has a major background in that dance. So regarding her current network, it makes sense alone just why there would potentially be more hits on those topics because of who you spend time with. Like that's your love, your specific love of dance style. So that's mm-hmm. wonderful. I love that. For anybody who is considering getting into a niche podcast or really hammer down focus, what advice do you have for them?
I think, first of all, don't be afraid of whatever hurdles you perceive to be in your way, because really it can be a pretty easy process. You just have to get yourself organized and, you know, keep yourself organized. Don't take it personal if people aren't accepting your invitations to be guests and that sort of thing. Be gentle with yourself. You know, it was kind of a hard decision to go from the 3 episodes a month to 2. And it doesn't seem like that much. I mean, it's 1 episode difference in the grand scheme of things. But it's like, no, but I felt like I was successful because I had gotten so many that I can do 3 a month. But I had to be kind to myself of, but you don't have the bandwidth in order to consistently manage that. And you don't need to beat yourself up about it. So it's okay to do 2. And if at some point you need to go down to 1, that is also okay too, because you are human. And so, you know, just be kind to yourself, but really it is not that difficult of a process. And think about who you want to get your message out to, what you want it to be. And be okay with it shifting over time too, because you might get different responses or get ideas as you go. And it's okay that it's kind of this living entity as you're working with it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this. This is a great talk, a good little like step in the water for anybody considering doing a podcast, for them to really consider if they want to do it. My last piece of advice personally, if you were going to be considering doing a podcast, is can you do this forever? Sure, you could stop it prematurely, but or not even prematurely. You could be like, I want to do this for 5 years and stop. Ask yourself that question before you get started. There's no wrong mm-hmm. answer. There are people who open Broadway shows for limited runs. They're called rich, you know, but like that's the limited runs are a thing, but just be transparent with yourself, and actually makes it easier as you are doing it, especially if you know you're only looking at 5 years. Great. It's a commitment. It is a commitment no matter what.
Yeah. Or even, you know, the approach of like, you know, I do 2 a month consistently. There are people who do more like seasons or episodes, like, you know, seasons of episodes where it's like, I'm going to do 2 a month just for 6 months out of the year, because that's what I want to do. That's how my schedule works. That's, you know, whatever. And then I don't release anything for a while. Or some people do it sporadically. And, you know, it's when the inspiration hits them, when they have time, but they at least, you know, they release with some consistency where it's like maybe a couple of episodes out of every 2-3 months or something like that. And so it doesn't have to look any one way. And like Jenna's, hers are brief and to the point. Mine are about an hour long. Some are even longer than that. Do what you want with it. Just make it so that it's interesting enough to people. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. How can people find you?
Oh gosh. So my podcast is Dance Med Spotlight. I have one of my obnoxious stickers, Dance Med Spotlight. My business is Back in Step Physical Therapy, located in Colorado. So on social media and YouTube, you can find me at Back in Step PT. And yeah, I tend to be a little obnoxious when it comes to being in the dance medicine space. So you will undoubtedly find me somewhere in there.
Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you, your expertise, and your friendship.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to leave us your questions and comments at podcast.healthywealthysmart.com.